This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hi, it's Pamela Wilson, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. If you're running an online business, that is, if it's a business and not a charity, you are using your website to earn money. And to earn money with your website, well, obviously you've got to sell something from its pages. And one of the easiest things to sell is some kind of digital product. And by digital product, I mean something that can be purchased and downloaded directly from a website. Now, you may be in a service business and you might be thinking, well, this episode isn't for me. But don't leave yet, because even if you sell services, you can offer digital products too. My goal today is to give you lots of ideas for creating what I call a minimum viable product. Now, I didn't make up that name. It's been around for a while, and I'll explain to you what it means. In today's episode, you're going to hear about the huge mistake that many people make when they're creating a minimum viable product and how you can avoid this mistake. You'll also discover why minimum viable products are a low-risk way to approach a new business idea. And I'll be talking about the specific technique that you can use to ask your audience to share their challenges so you can create a minimum viable product that meets those challenges. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. Are you ready to create a minimum viable product with maximum impact? Let's hit publish. Hit Publish is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, which handles all the technical elements of good online business practices. That includes design, content, traffic, and conversion. To check out the Rainmaker platform, head over to rainmaker.fm/platform. Get started building your online business now. Our first guest today is Chris Garrett. I know Chris is a big proponent of minimum viable products, and that's partly because he's made so many of them himself. But I think it's also because he sees them as a good, low-risk way to develop a business idea. I thought it would be best to start things off by simply asking Chris to define what a minimum viable product is and to share why they're useful.
I'll answer both together because it's very important that you have the correct goal in mind when you create a minimum viable product, especially one that's paid for. And the goal is to create a product that focuses on minimal feature set, but in order to learn, get feedback, and validate your assumptions. It is not to put junk out there. It's not to put something bad out in the market just because it's quick and easy. And a lot of people fall into that trap. So minimum viable product will have a reduced scope, but it is still intended to delight those customers.
So the minimum part of minimum viable product does not mean minimal effort. It just means you're reducing the scope. It's a minimum scope and it has a specific reason for existing, it sounds like.
Exactly. If you think of the first iPhone, it didn't do all the things. It didn't do half of the things that it can do now. I don't think they even had the App Store until later. But it delighted people. It got good word of mouth. It gave feedback to Apple to say, this is how we would like you to improve. And I usually advise you to collaborate with your customers. Say, this will be version one, but with your feedback, we'll give you version two that'll be more close to what you really need, and we'll keep improving it with your help. Rather than say, okay, I just want to get anything out into the market in the next 6 weeks because I want a big payday.
Right.
So it's minimal features, minimal scope, not minimum quality.
Right. And you're baking that into the conversation, basically. You are letting them know up front that that's how you plan to put things together.
Yeah, I always explicitly tell people, you're getting the best deal, you're getting it the best price, and also you get to help mold it, you help me course correct to make it exactly what you want and need. So the first people, the early adopters, instead of being crash test dummies, they're actually getting the best deal, they're actually getting to steer the ship, which is a really cool position to be in, just to participate, but also they're getting it the best price, they're getting it the first, so it becomes a collaboration rather than you dumping something bad onto these customers and them getting burned by it.
I love Chris's goal. He says to create something that will help you to get feedback from your audience. Create something that has a minimal scope, but that helps you to understand what your audience really wants. And be very transparent about it. Let people know this is version one. I want your feedback and I'll create an even better version two. Next up is Sonia Simone. Sonia knows that creating a first product can be kind of a daunting task if you're a beginner and you've never done it before. But she also knows some ways to make the whole process a lot easier. A lot of it depends on what you decide to do for your first product, what form it's going to take. So I asked Sonia what types of minimum viable products are easiest to put together for beginners.
Awesome. I love this. I love this question because that minimum viable product approach is such a good, low risk way to approach a new business idea. And not just for beginners. I mean, you know, we do these all the time, a copy blogger. So it's just a really, really good strategy. The way I look at a minimum viable product is I try and think about what's the smallest thing I can create that's going to solve a meaningful problem for a customer or for a client. So when I say a meaningful problem, it doesn't have to be a major problem. It doesn't have to save their marriage. Maybe it just cools off an argument, you know, or a way to start talking again after you've had a big fight, you know? So it's not saving the whole world. It's just one little piece, one little step forward. And so that's the first thing you have to craft your minimum viable product, thinking about what problem does this solve that might be small, but it is meaningful to the person that I'm trying to attract, the person who I want to become my customer. And from there, that will often tend to start to spark a lot of ideas for you. And from there, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. You can do, some people do coaching calls. Coaching calls are a good one where you just, you know, it's an hour of your time. You package it up. You have maybe some kind of a questionnaire that they fill out before they have the call with you. They fill out the questionnaire. You get on the Skype with them for an hour, you record the call, you have a fixed fee for that. That's a great minimum viable product because it takes almost no time to put together. You can implement it. You could implement it this afternoon if you wanted to.
Well, so, I have to say what I love about that product also is it gets you talking to your customers.
Yes.
So you get this in-depth look at what's going on in their lives and the challenges that they're facing that you might be able to help them with.
Exactly. It's not only a product in a way, you know, in some cases can be a nice way to just get a little cash infusion. You just maybe make an announcement. If you have an email list, you say, I have 10 of these. Just, I have 10 that I can let you have for $75. And in a pretty short amount of time, even if your list is quite small, you'll probably have $750 and a lot of market research.
Exactly.
So that's two good things.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So that's a great one. Another one that's related to that are Q&A calls. And I like these for people, and I, trust me, made liberal use of it myself, who are having confidence issues when they're getting started. And they're not sure they really can help. The best thing in the world you can do, if you are not sure you know enough to help, have a Q&A call and you will realize how much you can help because you will get all kinds of questions. You can do these for free or you can do them for a modest cost. It's fun to do them as a group call. You can use one of the free conference calling solutions for that. But when you get questions in, And then you, and I try and get them in advance so I can, if I need to, I can do a little bit of research. When you get questions in and then you answer those questions in a useful way, you realize, you know what, I really do have something to help people with. So that's another really nice one. It can be low cost. It could be free. Sometimes a minimum viable product is free when you first release it, because it is more of a, has more of a market research role to play in your business. But that's another very nice one. You can also call them group coaching calls. And that's one that will help boost your confidence again, give you lots and lots of ideas about where people are having problems so that you can craft those products and services that are going to meet those needs. And that's really what the minimum viable product is about. It's more about learning than it is about necessarily making tons and tons of money. Although if you happen to have, you know, $12 ebook, you might make quite a lot of money with that. I mean, Evernote Essentials, it's a little more than $12, but it's very reasonable, became a really very respectable business just from a nice ebook telling you how to get more out of Evernote. So sometimes those quote unquote small projects can end up being big winners in a business sense, but you always want to, you want to use this phase of your business for as much learning as possible, first and foremost. And then if you make some money, that's also, you know, kind of awesome.
Sonia recommends something similar to Chris. She said, focus on getting information with your minimum viable product, not on making big bucks from selling it. I also asked Tony Clark to weigh in on minimum viable products. When we're talking about creating digital products on our websites, one of the first questions out of people's mouths is, what should my product be about? It's not easy to figure that out, and it's a very important question to answer because you don't want to spend a lot of time and energy and maybe even money coming up with a minimum viable product about a topic that it turns out your audience isn't even interested in. So I asked Tony, what's a reliable way to come up with a good topic for your minimum viable product?
A reliable way to come up with a good topic is to look at your audience, but as somebody who's almost researching from the outside. And that's going to sound a little strange, but you're going to, your particular audience has a unique quality about it, unique membership, but you're used to it. You're used to being in that group. So you may think something is a great minimal viable product, when in fact it's something that's probably a little bit either too much or not enough. So the best way is to, aside from going with a survey, one of the things I like is using just a typical Q&A session. Using a Q&A session is a great way to determine the pain points for your audience without making it too survey-ish. Because you're asking, you're providing advice, you're providing some guidance as an expert. So they're going to tell you the real problems they're having. And that becomes a sort of informal survey to start to determine where the pain points are that you can build a product around. And this is a good approach versus what a lot of people do. They kind of try to guess based on what they've seen in their marketplace or from their audience, what is a good product. And a lot of times that's, it may be on the mark, but a lot of times it's not. By going to your audience, asking them, having them ask questions and you answer those questions, it's an easy way to determine what it is that they need that you can build a product around.
So running a Q&A in this case could be like a teleclass, something that you do by phone, or what's the best format for that?
Yeah, you could actually do a webinar designed around a topic. You pick a topic, but then at the end, you just open for questions and answers. Or you can just tell your audience, hey, as a bonus or as a way to kind of be a little bit more available to my audience, I'm going to offer a question and answer session. So here's a place for you to post your questions and then I'll answer them for you. And essentially what you're doing at that point is providing more kind of an open-ended survey. And then you choose the questions you want to answer. And then if you're doing it live, you can actually get follow-ups on it that'll help better define the types of products that you're looking at building.
That's a great idea. And it's a great way to find out what's really going on in their minds.
Exactly. Yeah, because a lot of times you're too close to it to be able to guess just what's out there. But if you ask, they'll tell you. But also, it's better if they ask you And you can kind of draw out from those questions where their pain points are.
And the other thing about that I'm thinking is that you'd be able to use some of the same language that they use to describe their problems when you go to sell this minimum viable product, right?
Exactly. And you can use the same thing throughout your entire funnel, from the advertising all the way through to the landing page to even the thank you page. Here is this product to solve this problem that I know that my audience has.
That's the kind of thing that when you do it, people say, I feel like you're inside my head and you know exactly what I need.
Exactly. And it allows you to not have your minimum viable product be too minimum, more viable. And that's the thing. People tend to focus too much on the minimum part of that phrase rather than the viable. And this allows you to pick out those really valuable pieces that you can provide to start off with the basics, that is the minimum part of the minimum viable product.
And that's exactly what Chris Garrett talked about. Make sure it's viable. I'm glad you mentioned that. Chris, Sonia, and Tony all recommended keeping it simple. And they all agreed that your focus should be on gathering good, usable information at this stage of the game when you're creating a minimum viable product. So here are my questions for you this week. How can you use this minimum viable product concept to develop a small product for your audience? Remember, keep it simple and think of it kind of like an experiment. That will take some of the pressure off of you. And you can think about the good information that you're going to gather from doing this experiment. Find a topic that's in demand and plan to put something small together so you can use it to test your next business idea. This is Pamela Wilson. I want to thank you for being a savvy Hit Publish subscriber. Help others to find Hit Publish. Head over to iTunes and just leave a rating and a review so others can find the information that we're sharing here. Bye until next time, and remember, take action and hit publish.